training on Friday morning with a group of people on presentations, and then I'm doing a presentation tomorrow. So I thought, why not talk about presentations? Because a lot of you who have been doing them or who've never done one and are relatively new and thinking about stepping into it, it's really great to get some flavor for how to do presentations. Because the worst way for you to do presentations is to get up and what we call wing it, okay? And I see so many people in ManTech that really do that. They just get up and wing it. And I know that I know that I know we teach and train that you don't have to be perfect. But also remember that you want to do a great job no matter what, because it's your people in the audience or your one-on-one presentations, it's their first exposure to ManTech. And if you make it look like if it's off the seat of your pants and, you know, fly by night and you're not prepared and you're disorganized, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, that's the impression they're going to get of the opportunity, of the products, of everything, and most importantly, the impression they get of you. When you get done with a presentation, you want people to come up and just, you know, hug on you and love on you. You want them to give you a standing ovation. You want them to come and say, what incredible passion you have. You know, and you just want to get some great feet. You want to know that you gave it your best when you do a presentation. And that's the attitude you should have going into it. So let me give you some helpful suggestions on how to do presentations and then what we call the seven sins of presentation styles, and we'll go over those as well so we can see what creates some of our headaches and some of our shortcomings. I also want you to know that there's another presentation outline. Besides this one, there's another one I did that has some reference books in it and everything that I did last year about the same time, November 16th, I think it was last year, on the ManTrain website. So you can also listen to that. It's a different type of review of presentations than this one is today, which is why I'm doing a second one. But both of them apply to doing effective presentations. So first of all, let's run through how to develop the most effective presentation you can. First of all, make an outline. I always tell people, and I do too, every single time before I do a presentation, I always make an outline. And sometimes I actually make like my presentation for tomorrow that I'm doing for the ICANN DVD, I'm going even deeper than an outline because I want specific words in my talk. I don't, almost every single presentation I do, I don't waste words. In other words, there's a reason for all of my language in the presentation, a reason for each and every bit of it. You know, I don't think you should use wasted words. And perhaps I get very keyed into this because of my lawyering background, but words are so critical. They communicate so much, and they're so powerful. And wasted words are wasted communication, and they allow people to go off stray and they, you know, and go in different directions. So you really want to stay on track when you're talking to people and communicating with people. And the best way to stay on track is to work off of an outline, so you stay in structure. And so make an outline and do a logical step-by-step process. If you have a problem with that because your brain doesn't function that way, then work with somebody in your upline or somebody you trust, Crossline or whatever, to help you structure what that looks like. Because you want your presentation to be logical step-by-step so people can follow it. If it jumps around, if it goes different directions, if it flip-flops, if you jump from product to product and then go back to another product, I'm going to tell you people, the people in the audience are going to be totally lost, or your person you're presenting to is going to get totally lost. This is a complex science that you can make sound a lot simpler if you just keep it very organized. So you want to stick to organized and outline form. The other thing you want to remember is that people typically remember the first and last things that you say. So you want to be impactful, very impactful up front and very impactful in the closing. So make sure that in your outline you recognize that aspect of it. Secondly, practice, practice, and practice. This is probably where I fall down when I come up with new presentations. I don't typically practice very much, but you know, I typically, because I was an extemporaneous speaker, I don't feel the pressure to do it, but I really should. I'd be a better presenter if I put more time into practicing. All of us are. So you really want to be, I almost suggest that people almost have it memorized. I mean, almost have a pretty good idea how that language is going to come. And when you practice it over and over again, your language will start becoming pretty similar each time you give it. When I go out and do Let's Go Natural, like my Friday night presentation in Palm Springs, it's pretty much, I can free free wing it out there, but I've given the talk 100 times, at least 100 times. So it's pretty easy for that language to flow for me because I've given it 100 times, you know, and I add new things to jazz it up. I watch the response of the audience, so I get, you know, them involved, and that's part of what we're going to talk about too. But I, you know, so it's fun for me, and it's a joy just to get out there and just, you know, be a part of that whole audience experience for me. But you want to practice. You want to make sure that you've got some practice down. You want to get friends over or do it in front of a group of people so that you have that language down, so you know how that language is going to flow, how the words flow together. It's kind of like some people even tell me, they say, Mary Jo, I put in your Let's Go Natural CD in my car everywhere I go because it helps me with my languaging around describing the products. And I go, great. Anything that helps you as a tool to help you structure your language better when you're describing the products is just a real blessing. So whatever it takes for you to do that, again, practice on it. You can practice in the car. You can use different tools like that to do it. But again, practice makes perfect. The third thing I wanted to talk about in terms of developing effective is the videotape. A videotape is an incredible tool, and it's so easy to do today because almost everybody has some kind of video recording equipment. Since we video record our Christmases and our holidays and all this stuff today, it's become so popular, it's rare that you go in a household that doesn't have a video camera. So, you know, do have a video camera. Have somebody videotape you. One of the things I'm doing for my videotaping tomorrow is I'm reviewing Let's Go Natural, and I'm looking at my behavioral patterns, my head gestures, my facial gestures, my hands, how I use, and boy, do I ever use my hands. I talk a lot with my hands, as some of you know, have seen me give presentations. But it's important to review. I looked at that DVD, and I'm going over and over again just to kind of say, okay, what are the things that are shortcomings? What are things that I can improve on? How can I be better? Because it's always about how do I improve? You know, we all can be better. No matter how well we do, we can always improve on it. So, you know, videotaping will kind of show you idiosyncrasies that you may not even know you have. The one person we know the least about when it comes to presentation styles is ourselves because we don't watch ourselves. We're the ones always up in front, so the videotaping gives you an opportunity to watch yourself. It also lets you look at things like stuttering, hands, posture, movement, voice inflection, too much, too little, too many questions, whatever it might be, all those kind of things, hesitations, you know, repetitive words that we might be using because we all get caught up in that. You know, how we remember when we were teenagers and you'd get a cool word that would come out and then all of a sudden it would become every other sentence had that word in it. Well, we as adults tend to pick up that same behavioral pattern. We'll come up with a word that just starts lingering in our word structure, in our vocabulary. And we have to be very cautious that we don't allow that to happen, especially in presentations. So you want to look at that, there's another one, ahs, those kind of things, hesitations. You'll pick those things up through video recording. It's the easiest way for you to watch yourself and then take corrective action. Another thing for presentations is you want to make sure that your credibility is a must. It's a must. So if you have statistics and things like that, make sure you have supporting documentation for all the statistics. It has a ton of statistics at the beginning because it's about setting up the foundational why wellness. You know, I need people to understand that we're ranked 37th in the world in healthcare, that we're ranked 42nd in the world in longevity. These are statistics. Now, I can't use those statistics in my talk unless I have the supporting documentation behind them because it's about credibility. If somebody asks you for proof of that, you have to have it. You have to have it. So references for all the material you use are critical. As I brought up this morning about the why, what makes Manatech unique when we talk about the shortage of plant sterols in our diets, boy, you know, I'm using Dr. Nugent's book right now. If that's not accurate, I want to know about it. I want to make sure that I'm accurate. We want to be as accurate as possible. And there's some speakers out there, I love Ray Robbins. I think he's a dynamo guy. But, you know, Ray loves that he tends to be part of that old network marketing stuff where, you know, I call it the fish story. Sometimes Ray's stories get a little bit involved. I would even laugh when he would describe me. I'll never forget one time I was out in the parking lot at Manatech headquarters, and he came out, and he says, Mary Jo, you got to meet this guy. And he brought this guy over, and he says, you know, here's Mary Jo Hilliker. You know, she used to be a practicing lawyer making $600,000-$700,000 a year. And I just started laughing. I said, I'm sorry, Ray. I just giggled because, you know, and I even did it right there because I couldn't stand it. I mean, it was so inaccurate. I wasn't making $600,000-$700,000 a year practicing law, you know. So I mean, but you see, the stories just grow, and you know, I don't care. Inappropriate and untruthful facts, when you know they're not true, you just don't use them. It's not about, you know, the truthful facts of me making a couple $100,000 was good enough. You don't need to have $700,000. You just think it sounds better, so you start using them. So stay away from that. Just really flee from that kind of languaging, because it really compromises your credibility. And if you lose your credibility in any way, shape, or for everything you say, not just for the one item they know is inaccurate. So that's why you want to make sure that you're accurate with your statistics. Another thing you want to make sure in presentation is a variety. Always use like visual aids as well in your auditory presentation, because you don't know. Some people are very auditory, some people are very visual. And if you don't have a visual parts to your presentation, whether it's even, you know, a science magazine, as you well know, I use science magazine cover a lot. When I do my anti-aging presentation, I use that DVD that I put, you know, PowerPoint, or I use a PowerPoint presentation that's in the DVD, which is available to all of you because it's posted on the Manatrain website. But you can use that PowerPoint around the anti-aging. You know, so I use visuals there. I also use the products when I do product presentations. I pick them up and I show people. I hold them. Why? Because, again, it's a visual. It's a break in just having Mary Jo up there, so you have other visuals that you can use. So whatever works for you, you do. So but make sure you're always making it something that's duplicatable. So sometimes, you know, I have people that a lot of times they say, Mary Jo, give presentation all the time. Why don't you use PowerPoints? Well, I tend to stay away from PowerPoints in my presentation style because I always want the people in the audience to be able to say, that's duplicatable. If they know they just need a foam board with a Science Magazine cover on it, you know, and four products, you know, anyone can do that. And that's what we want to do. We want to make this business simple. We've made it so complicated for people. I really, in developing this whole I Can program, so much of my emphasis and my drive in putting it together was, how do I simplify Manatech? You know, how do I simplify it? How do I make it a program that, you know, we could potentially have a gold presidential walking across stage who's never gotten on the Manatech website, you know, and that's what I've developed. That's really what I Can is. You don't ever have to get on the Manatech website to do this entire program and build incredible residual income. So because we complicate things so much, and we do the same thing in presentations. We don't want to make our presentations so complicated people can't do them. So keep it simple. You know, you don't have to look like some big professional out of New York City with, you know, a marketing firm supporting you. Keep it simple and watch what happens with it. But again, variety. Make sure you're stimulating their senses and in the talk so that they're not focused on one thing. Number six is, in terms of presentation, is for you who's doing as a presenter, you want to make sure you visualize your results. In other words, walking into a room. When I walk into a room of people, it just causes that adrenal pump for me. It's just so exciting to be around, you know, people who are open to learning. When I walked in, and Friday night we had over 100 people in that Palm Springs meeting. It was just terrific. I mean, it's just so exhilarating to be in front of a quantity of people that are saying, "I want to learn something new." They're dedicating a bunch of their time in their lives to come out and hear you. So you need to, you know, you need to start looking at them and saying, what am I going to create here for them? And I visualize my results. I visualize in a room. That's why I ask, I say, how many people here are new for the first time hearing about glyconutrient and glycobiology technology? And I typically ask the crowd to give them a hand for being here tonight, so everybody claps. Makes them feel good. They're being acknowledged. That's really critically important. That's a great part of any presentation, so you should incorporate that, you know, acknowledging the new people. And then another reason I do that is so I have a visualization of where they are in the room so I can make sure my eye contact's appropriate. In addition to that, I immediately tell me, okay, I saw 20 hands go up. I visualize 20 new signups out of tonight's meeting. And people, I do this whether they're my downline or not. I mean, when I was in my organization, but I saw these people, all those people that raised their hands, all of them become new associates. So visualize the result you want to create in the room. And sometimes I visualize other things. You know, I'll look at it and I say, okay, tomorrow we only have 10 people signed up for the training so far. So I visualize 30 more people showing up. You know, so I do some of that type of thing. I your belief system and what you visualize is so powerful that you want to make sure that you put that in play. Don't leave that on the sideline. Put your visualization in play. I teach that too, and I do trainings even about meeting people. When I meet new people, or I meet people on the airplane, or I see them at different events, and I get to know them, and they ask me what I do, immediately I visualize them where they're going to be in my downline. I mean, I do it even on prospecting. I use the power of visualization because I know how extremely powerful that is. Some of you visualize people saying no. Well, that's what you create then. You want to visualize people saying yes. You want to visualize the reality that these people are going to be in your downline. They're going to be taking the products. They're going to be making a huge difference in their lives. And they're going to be building residual income for themselves. So visualize it. The seventh item on the outline talks about know your audience. And how do you know your audience? Well, I know my audience in a number of ways. Number one, I make constant eye contact with them. As I'm going through the presentation, I'm always making eye contact with people in the audience. Critically important. That helps draw them in and make you feel like they're actually really hearing you, so you don't feel like you have people that are in the front row yawning or going to sleep. You have people that are actually really hearing you. I was watching the other day. Oh, I thought it was so funny. Let me tell you this, talking about sleeping. The other day I was watching a Mavericks game. They played the San Antonio Spurs, which are, for those of you who are kind of, sports enthusiasts, you know, they're two of the best teams in the NBA. And they're, of course, both located in Texas here, one from Dallas, one from San Antonio. And they have this incredible rivalry going on between them. And Dallas has kind of been the victor in that rivalry, even though San Antonio won the national championship last year. They didn't have to go through Dallas to get there. But Dallas has been beating up on San Antonio for the last couple of years pretty substantially. And I'm watching this game, and the Bob Popovich, the coach, is on the sideline, and he was yawning. And I thought, wow, we got a problem here. You want to make sure that you don't have those kind of people in your audience. So the way to do that is you get them involved in the talk by making eye contact. You really can make a total difference in somebody's attention span with you by eye contact. So even though you're up front and they're in the audience, make eye contact. The other thing I like to do with audiences is, as you know, if you've been to any of my talks, I love to get them involved. I always ask people questions in the audience. You know, I have about 5 or 6. You don't do it prolifically because that'll disrupt your presentation. But you do it a few times just to have fun with it. Have fun with the audience. And it brings joy. It gets people laughing. And it really is. And it's that question mode that we constantly tell the people to do. Always be questioning people. It makes them engaged in the awareness and in the entire event. So make sure you're getting people involved. And now I want to talk about what we call the 7 deadly sins for presentations. And you can actually do a whole training just around these. Because what happens is we get caught up in things that don't work. We get tied into things that aren't going to be effective for us. So we want to be aware that there are things that we want to avoid like the plague. Because in 7 deadly sins for presentation, I think this actually came out of a training that was done in Network Marketing Times. So let's go through these. 7 deadly sins. What will kill your presentation more than anything else? Number one is too much detail. I've been to some presentations where people go on and on about statistics and details, and what happens is they lose their audience. Because people get bored, they start yawning, they get drifting. They can only absorb so much. I think that some of my problems, I used to give a talk that was very lengthy and had a lot of and I think that we overwhelm people in the audience. So you don't want to overwhelm them, you just want to give them enough. In fact, my ICANN presentation is scheduled to be only 15 minutes, and it actually has a PowerPoint in it as well. So that's going to be a tough thing to tackle, but that's my goal, is to make it no more than 15 minutes, because I want people to really get it. I want it to be impactful, and I want people to get it. And they're either going to say I can, or they're going to say I can't. But they're going to make a choice, and it's going to be that impactful. So stay away from excessive amounts of detail, because this is the purpose of a presentation. Isn't a training session or seminar or workshop. Its sole purpose is to really motivate people to take action. So keep it simple, short, and exciting. Number 2, too much hype. don't get into, you know, if you're talking about the business side, we're the next Microsoft, you know, if you didn't get buy into Microsoft, buy into Manatech. Don't promise $50,000 to $100,000 in the next 2 years. Most people aren't looking for that anyway, and they're not going to find it credible. And again, I tie that back into my ICANN presentation. Same thing. We talk about building residual income of $2,000 to $6,000 per month. So people to be $70,000 a year. I don't say that. I talk about how much residual income on a monthly basis. So it stays in the credible range. It stays in the believable range. And notice how I entice people. I say $2,000 to $6,000 because two is the lower limit and six is an upper limit, but it really isn't even the upper limit for what we're proposing. But it gives it something credible and something to work for. So they know they have some flexibility in making a difference. And they know if they really perform well, they have a chance of making a lot of money. So, but make sure you keep it believable. Too much hype, it's not believable. People walk out the room. They just go, I can't do it. I can't. It's, you know, and you don't, that's the last thing you want them to say is, I can't. You want to make sure they walk out by saying, I can't. Not enough passion. I think this is one area, of course, I don't have a problem with. In fact, it was cute on Friday night when in Palm Springs again, I had people come up and say, oh, Mary Jo, I just love your passion. You know, And it never ceases to amaze me. I've given this talk hundreds of times, right? And I still, but it's not, my passion emanates internally. It's that enthusiasm. In fact, that's what enthuse means, is God within. It comes from within me. It's not something I need to trigger. It's not something that I pretend. It's just an automatic. It's an automatic because it's a belief system that supports that. And it doesn't matter how many times I get, it doesn't even matter, as I talk to this one person, you know, I could be in my hotel room getting ready for the talk and just, you know, got by, you know, putting on my clothes or whatever I might be doing. And I could be in a, you know, any kind of frame of mind, you know, maybe I just saw something happen or even this morning. This is so cute because here I'm on the Monday call. Right before I got on this call, I accidentally deleted 5 hours of work that I did in outlining. Now, you know, that's not really exciting to do because I know I'm going to have to go back and redo all that. And it was just a pure accident. I was like, Lydia, find it on my computer. Surely you can find it somehow. And we even called a tech guy. But you know what? I got on this Monday call to change my frame of reference. Why? Because I knew I was in a presentation mode with you guys. And the enthusiasm is just there for teaching and training and learning. And you know, I'm not going to rob you guys nor rob myself of being out of that frame of mind. So we want to make sure that we develop our passion, and the passion is the joy of what we get to share in touching people's lives and making a difference in people's lives. And so you want to make sure that you have that enthusiasm, because enthusiasm is incredibly contagious. I mean, it's one of the, another reason why when I go do area meetings are only one-day trainings, but I always demand I do a opportunity meeting the night before, because I know my enthusiasm is contagious. When people see me on Friday night, we typically fill up the entire train, like we did on Saturday in Palm Springs. They had half the number of people registered, and they just filled the entire room. In fact, Melissa, who's so darling out there, she just did a great job with all the people. Melissa Walker, she said, Mary Jo, she says, I was worried. I said, where am I going to put the next person? They didn't have chairs. She had actually people sitting at there. You know, they had tables organized so everybody could sit at a table. She actually had some people in the back against the wall that were just sitting in chairs because they ran out of table space, and that's just great. But it's part of that enthusing, selling by attraction, being enthusiastic. That's what's going to attract people. People will jump on the bandwagon because they see that body language, the voice, the passion. We're starving for passion today in this world, people. We're starving. I have people come up to me and say, Mary Jo, how can you train enthusiasm? And I'm going, wow, that's a good question. How do you train enthusiasm, right? And the best way for me to train, I'll tell you, the way I train, you want to know, here's the trick, you want to know this one. How do you train enthusiasm? The number one way to train people or get them in a passionate or enthusiastic realm is to work on their core belief system. Start digging deep and find out what they're made of. So find out what their core values are. Find out what their, if they could do anything they want in their life, what would it be? What do they want to create in their life? And dig into their core values, then dig into their why or their mission statement, to dig at that core and have them outline that mission statement. And I'm going to tell you, when you get digging into that stuff and you get people to recognize what's most important to them and then get them on a path that sets them free to do that, that's their path. They'll be passionate. They'll have boundless passion because they finally are doing what's internal to them, they're digging deep enough to find out what they are passionate about. You can't have enthusiasm if you don't have passion for something. You got to dig down and find out what that is, and you can't do that unless you do your own self-awareness work and self-enlightenment work. You've got to do that. You've got to dig. You've got to do that internal work on yourself before you can drive yourself into a state of passion around it. So that's what's going to help you do that. So that's really how you train enthusiasm and passion. You dig down deep and you work on the inner self of the person to find out what that is for everyone. Because each one of us is very different. We're all created very different. But in presenting, you want to make sure that passion comes through, that why comes through. What is your why? And that allow that to come through. And you can even tell people. You can get up in front of people and say, this is my why. I'd like for you guys to really talk about your why. You can say, the reason I stepped up and said I can, that I could see myself committing to 6 to 8 hours a week for 12 months and making a difference for me, is because 12 months from now, my life is going to look like this. And boom, outline it. And this is what I want in my life, and I'm committed to it, and in 12 months, I'm going to make this happen. And that's why, And so you can talk about your why and talk about what you're going to create in your life, because you're going to have 2,000 to 6,000 of additional stream of income, residual income, that comes into your life every month. So get passionate. Show the passion. Exude that enthusiasm, and you'll watch everybody around you pick up on that. Another deadly sin is in the outline we talk about being boring. People who are enthusiastic can also be boring. Why? Because if they're constantly enthusiastic and they stay at that high pitch the whole time, you're going to wear people out in the audience. So and the content of your material can be boring. You can have your details can be boring. So you want to make sure that you address the benefits and the relevance to the prospects in the room. What relevance does it have to me? You've got to bring this home to people. You got to bring it home so they can relate to it. So you can be really enthusiastic and passionate about the blue balls on the cell surface, but you better tell people in the audience what that has to do with them. Bring it back into relationship with them, so that they can grapple with it. They can feel like they're, fully understanding it and what a difference it can make in their lives. So addressing benefits and relevance to people is critically important. That'll keep it from being boring. It'll keep people being actively involved in what they hear and being able to apply it. In other words, apply it to their lives. What does it mean when I apply it to my life? When you talk about the business opportunity, I'll tell you, again, and I know I keep emphasizing it, but it's what I've been training in out in the field in Palm Springs when I talked about the ICANN program. I mean, people in the audience were like, I've been waiting for this. I've been wanting this. I've been, this is incredible. This is so simple. Somebody even came up and said, Tim Altvader's been desperately trying to make this program simple for people and simple. And they said, Mary Jo, I think you really got down to the bare bones of making it simple. Because we scare people away with complexity, and enough already. No more complexity. We're going to make it simple, keep it simple, and help people. Through that simplicity, you're helping people rebuild their dreams. We want everybody to dream again. And the American dream is there for every one of us. But we've left it aside. It's deteriorated. It's dissipated. It's dimmed. It's eroded. We've seen it just disappear in so many lives. And our goal is to open that up to possibility again and really make people even go from possibility to, say, probability to, say, with this fixed system, we have totally predictable results. So what a blessing this is to have it be not just a possibility but a reality for people. So take all those things. Take it from possibility to probability to reality. And that's what a fixed system does. It produces predictable results for people. And so paint a beautiful picture, and that helps get out of boring. It gets exciting because people start seeing, when I present I can, people go off the charts because they start seeing, I can do this. They really, the words I can come out of their mouth, and they believe it. The next thing, so again, stay away from boring, get into the excitement, bring it home to the people in the audience. Sameness, the enemy of the speaker is sameness. In other words, are you the same voice, the same body language, the same facial expression? Sameness will put an audience in a coma, and that's very true. So you want to make sure that you have inflections in your voice. You want to make sure that you move around. You're not staying in the same exact place. You want to make sure you add some gestures, some body language, your facial expressions. I have, you know, somebody told me I'm a woman of 1,000 faces. I don't know if that's true, but that's okay. You know, I don't really care. I'm not up there trying to impress somebody with all my facial expressions, but I have a lot of them, and they're not something I superficially do. It's just my natural inclination, and that's what I just go with the flow. It's who I am. So we want to have, you know, we want to get rid of the sameness. We want to have variety in there. And, you know, so it's just how can I create that variety in my presentations? You can create it many, many ways. You just have to choose into it, but make sure you have the variety so you get rid of that sameness and you're not dry to people. Winging it, we talked about that already in the first part of the talk. Really, that will cost you a fortune. It will cost you because you lose credibility, you lose your prospects. You just really need to be prepared. And then finally, the last thing is delivering straight content. Content tells stories sell. So if you're delivering straight content, what's going to happen is you're going to lose your audience again. People are emotional creatures, and they respond to storytelling. So if you can add storytelling, and of course we can't always add storytelling about how the products are impacting people's lives and giving live testimonials up there, but we can do storytelling on our experiences around this. You know, what a blessing it is to be in people's lives. What a blessing it is to see people resolve their and have extremely positive results and to touch people's lives and talk about your story, about why you do this. You know, bring in your why. That's a very powerful story. So you want to bring in things that, you know, experiences that you've had with people, incredible, how you can see people. And one of the beautiful things about making a business presentation versus product is you can talk about all the business results in your world. There's no Dache violation when you talk about the extremely positive financial streams that have been created through the Manatech business. So that adds excitement to be able to do that and make sure that you're, you know, telling the stories to help people really relate to them again, because stories sell, right? We know that, and that's one of the reasons why we've always had stories in our presentations, because they sell. They're the things that work for people, because that makes people believe that it can happen to them too if it happened to somebody else. Okay, people, that's it. That's all I have in terms of, we're actually done 5 minutes early. That's a first. I'll take any questions on anything. You want to ask questions about presentation styles, anything that you might have in mind, or anything else you might have. Well, we have 5 minutes left. Anyone?
Mary Jo, you said that you like to ask questions, and you have a half a dozen of them that are your favorite to keep the audience, interested in what you're saying. What are some of your favorite questions?
Some of my questions go like, and some of you will recognize this because you see me. I guess right off the bat, I start talking about the science of glycobiology. It has to do with how the cells in our body communicate. And I say, now, and I'll take somebody in the front row, and I'll say, what's your name? I want to get their name. I'll say, okay, George, if I take your human body and I break it down to its most formative stage, what am I going to come up with? And he goes, atom or cell, and it's really funny. It's like, cells, great, congratulations, you got the right answer. I said, and how many cells, George, do you have in your human body? And he just looks around like, well, lots of them. I go, wow, that's a terrific scientific term, lots. Or I'll say bunches, that's one of my favorites. I have fun with it. So then, see, now I have the audience interacting, and I have the whole audience laughing when they hear the word bunches, and I call it a tremendous scientific term that I hope everybody understands what bunches means, So it's kind of things like that. Or I'll talk about when I get into plus, I'll talk to people and I'll say, so I'll go back to George or I'll go, Sarah, if I ask you a question, how many glands do you have in your body? And they'll go, I don't know. And I said, well, why don't you use that famous science term again? She goes, oh, bunches, and then you get laughter out of that. So, make it fun. make it something that's fun. But those are the kind of questions you can ask your audience, you know, because they enjoy, people like to be right about things. They like to get asked questions, and even if they're embarrassed by it, they'll laugh because they know that you're not picking on them, you're just having fun with the audience. So just pick out things in your science area that you can typically say. And you can say to people, say, what's the importance? Could you tell me what is the importance of your glands in your body? You know, and see what people say. You know, you're not going to ask them scientific questions that are totally off the charts, but fun things like that. You can interrogate your audience and get them to respond on different science aspects of the business. Got it?
Thank
Does that
you.
Help you? Sure.
Yep. It does.
Those are simple things, and again, always have fun with them, but you can, you know, it's just, and I'll tell you, the audience love it because they really love, audiences love to have emotion. They love to interact, and they love to have emotion. So if you can make them laugh, and I used to, in my old presentation style, I used to talk about my dad's story, and I'm not kidding, in the first 5 minutes of my presentation, I had the whole room crying. Now, I can't talk about my dad's Alzheimer's anymore, but we did talk about it. People asked me the question, you know, and introduced me. So I said, my dad had a chronic condition, and he had extremely positive results, and that totally changed my life. Now I can't get into all the emotion that I used to get into it, but you know, it totally changed my life. And walking away from the income, you know, and the other thing I did, I said, you know, I talk about walking away from my story is kind of a fun one because I talk about, you know, the income testimonial is I walked away from six figures to make $100 a month, and the audience laughs and laughs. They say, "Oh my gosh." Like, what a crazy woman would walk away from six figures to make. Well, I love that income testimonial because it tells the dedication you have. For me, when God lays something on your heart, you do it. But more importantly, that, you know, if you can be that dedicated for the people, you know, not more importantly to God by any means, I didn't mean to make that comment, but more importantly for the people in the audience, for them to hear the fact that that this is such an incredible mission, that people are seeing the value of it be so great that they're willing to move away from something that is making it's not about money. Get it? It's not about money. It's about being committed to making a difference in this world. Yeah. Okay, next question. Anyone else?
Yes, on the when you mentioned in the variety portion where it says, remember these people may have seen others in networking, so using Paul Zane Pilzer or Robert Kiyosaki.
Yeah, that's in the outline.
Assuming that just forget them.
Well, it's not really a forget them. It's don't overemphasize it. I've gone to Manatech presentations where people talk all about Paul Zane Pilzer and Robert Kiyosaki, and it's like, you know what? I just went to one on Juice Plus, and they did the same thing.
Yeah.
So understand that your audience has probably been exposed to other network marketing companies. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
And if they're going to...
When you said your display, anybody can do it. You said a science magazine with four products. Are you saying the core four, like in the optimal health?
Yep. Ambertos, AO Plus, and Phytomatrix.
And then what science magazine?
Magazine is the one that comes from March 23rd, 2001, where it has the blue balls. If you haven't seen it, it's part of all my presentations. Obviously, you're asking the question. You haven't seen any of Mary Jo's videos or DVDs, Let's Go Natural, of the things I put out there. I use it in virtually every one of my presentations on glyconutrients because it's a beautiful visualization of what a cell looks like. You can get it out of science. You know, there are other pictures of that in other scientific magazines, but I find that one the most illustrious.
And would you tell me again, March what?
March 23rd, 2001 is the edition of Science Magazine. It's the front cover of Science Magazine, March 23rd, 2001. It's just a beautiful display of what a cell surface looks like. And, of course, every time I talk about blue balls, everybody in the audience snickers, so I get a good laugh out there. I'm kidding. But that's what they are. They're little blue balls. You know, I mean, but people have a different connotation for that terminology. But it doesn't faze me because I'm still going to talk about the blue balls on the cell surface, you know. But it's great. Yep.
Thank you.
I'm not suggesting people, you know, sometimes when I talk about the business side, I'll talk about Paul Zane Pilzer and Robert Kiyosaki, but I do very minor because I know that these people are involved in everybody's network, you know, everybody's network marketing. Paul Zane Pilzer has been a guest speaker at national conventions for, you know, other natural products. They're network marketing. These guys, when they jump into network marketing, they're not doing it for Manatech. They're doing it to make millions and millions of dollars because they see the market for network marketers. I mean, there are millions of us out there doing network marketing. And when they make a tool for network marketers. They don't make it for man, a ticket for everybody.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Mary Jo, I have a question. Like you mentioned Juice Plus, and we're always having these other people mentioning other products or companies to us. How do you normally respond to that issue?
Good. Good question. Yeah. When anyone ever tells me about other products, let's say, first of all, if they're taking them, even if they're not, but Juice Plus, for instance. I was just on a three-way call with a huge person in Juice Plus last week. And I love the product. I said, I think the product's a great product. I think Juice Plus has a good product. There's nothing wrong with their product. It's just that it doesn't, you never make people feel bad. Just like Mango, Tango, Zango, whatever juice you got out there. You know, I'm not saying any of these products are bad. They each have their own validity in terms of nutrients. And they're all natural, if they're all natural. That's a big if, remember. If, assuming they're 100% natural, they come from plant sources, and plant sources are where we want to find our nutrition. But what makes us different is these products aren't glyconutritional. That's our number one differentiation, is glyconutrition. You know, when you look at glyconutritionals, they create totally different results with people, you know. So you need to look at, what am I missing in my diet? You know, there are a lot of nutrients in Juice Plus I'm not missing in my diet. I have them in my diet. But I know that I know I'm not getting the 8 necessary saccharides for cellular communication. So that's why I choose glyconutrients. That's why I choose Ambritose. So I don't try to get somebody to stop taking their Juice Plus. I try to get them on Ambritose as a product. And invariably what happens is 2 months, 3 months down the road, they can call me back and say, Mary Jo, I don't want to buy products from different companies. Is there something that you have that can help me replace my Juice Plus? And I go, absolutely. I said, number one, Phytomatrix is our 100% plant digested nutritional supplement that meets all your vitamin and mineral needs. Plus, it has phytonutrients in it, so absolutely take Phytomatrix. And I said, and if you feel you want more fruits and vegetables in your diet, as I said, Phytolo is a great product. I still take it every single day. I love Phytolo. So that's the way I go with it. So I meet them where they are. I honor them for what their acknowledgement that they need supplements, and then I go a step further to say what makes us different. Does that help you?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Thanks.
Never, ever criticize other people's products. When you tell somebody, oh, you're on Juice Plus, well, that's pretty stupid. That's a terrible product, and it doesn't going to serve you. You're telling somebody they're stupid. When you tell somebody that you make people feel bad, they're not going to buy from you. They're not going to make a good decision. Make the person feel good. And anyone taking a supplement today should be honored because they're taking a supplement. At least they got the idea that they absolutely need supplements in their diet. So that's a huge step in the right direction. Now we just try to get them on track with the right supplements for them. Okay? Any other questions? We're almost done. Oh, we are actually past 11 o'clock. Okay, guys, any other questions last minute? Otherwise, we'll let you go.